as will be pointed out somewhere in this lesson, it was not sufficient that this person running from the slay of blood, it was not sufficient that he be running in the direction of the city of refuge. He had to be inside the city of refuge. That's one. It was not sufficient either that he could see the city of refuge a few chains away. He had to be inside the city of refuge. But these cities of refuge, among other things, they pointed to the grace and the mercy of God while pointing to the justice of God. Because, yes, they point to the justice of God, saying that wrongdoer and wrongdoing and sin will be punished. But the point to the mercy and the grace of God, saying that even when a person is guilty, the Almighty God will make provision for that person to be redeemed from his or her guilt. The city of refuge, as I said, among some of the characteristics is the fact that they were to be easily accessed. One should not have problem in locating a city of refuge. You know, there are some places it's not so easy to find. Many places are like that. You get map and you get this and you get direction. In fact, sometimes you go someplace and a good citizen in the community, well aware of the difficulty where Miss Alga Jumaima lives, The person will decide, say, let me take you. Because it's difficult to find the place. Not so with the cities of refuge. The instruction given was of such that they were to be easily accessed. That's one. And the roads to the city of refuge were to be good, prepared roads. Just run. I didn't want to start reading any passage yet. Just run to Deuteronomy 19 and verse 3. Quick. I'm on the point that the roads, and you may say, well, is that relevant to us? Quite relevant. Wait, let me hear the passage. Deuteronomy chapter 19 and verse 3, I think I said.
Thou shalt prepare thee a way.
Okay, stop there. Hold it. The Almighty God instructing Moses. Watch here now. Read now, Wilson.
Away and divide the coasts of thy land.
Thou shalt prepare thee.
Away.
This is talk about making sure that the road to the cities of refuge are fixed. And if you want, when you get home, read this from a modern translation. That's right. And this is not the only place. So the roads to the city of refuge were to be good roads. And watch here. Where there were crossroads that you have to pass and cross to get to the city of refuge, there were finger direction. Brother Mitchell, you have not yet told us why is that relevant to us. This is showing that the Almighty God, when God gives man a directive or a command, the Almighty God wants to make sure it is plain and simple. And to this day, the gospel is like that. Men and women, remember I said that the city of refuge, that access to them were to be easy? Huh? Well, so it is to the men and women who really want to learn God's truth. You can usually find somebody to teach you, or find a church of Christ, or find the Bible. Huh? That's not an accident. The Almighty God has seen to that. So the easy access to the city of refuge, it's no mistake, it is the doings of the Almighty God. The city of refuge was to give. I made a statement or two relative to this last week, but it's important that we understand this, so I make a statement on it again, that the city of refuge was to give the person who flees to any of the six cities, was to give that person time to prepare himself for judgment day. What do you mean judgment day, Mr. Mitchell? Because the city of refuge was not meant to be the person's permanent resident. I need to repeat that. These cities of refuge that the Almighty God asked Moses to prepare for a person who may unintentionally kill another person. That before the member of the family who was killed pursue him and kill him out of revenge, the city of refuge was meant for him to have a place where he can go and stay and prepare an answer. Prepare a response. Prepare a defense when he finally meets with the elders of the city, which were usually Levites. So, in fact, let us hear Joshua 24 and 6. Quick.
And when he that doth flee unto one of those cities.
Start again.
And when he that doth flee unto one of those
and
cities.
When he that flee to one of these cities
shall stand at the entering of the gate of the city.
That is where judgment is usually kept. You read the book of Job, you see that's where Job was. Job was like the mayor of Sodom and Gomorrah, truly. And when you read about the gate, that's where council, city council was made. That's right. Was done. At the gate of the city.
And shall declare his cause in the ears.
That's judgment. That's where judgment take place. At the gate, at the entrance to the city. Declare his cause. Give reason why the killing that was done by him was not intentional. It was not premeditated killing. You have to declare that in an effective way. Read, brother.
And shall declare his cause in the ears of the elders of that city.
Mm-hmm.
they shall take him into the city unto them,
mm-hmm.
and give him a place that he may dwell among them.
Mm-hmm.
And if the avenger of
Wait. Now, that is verse 4.
Yes, brother.
Step down to verse 6.
And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation.
That's judgment day for
judgment.
Him. Stay in the city until he stand before the congregation. Read that entire verse 6.
And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment.
Uh-huh. Read.
And until the death of the high priest.
Either until judgment or until the death of the high priest. I think it was a sister pointed out that they wanted to know a little more about this business of the death of the high priest. When the high priest died, what he should do. Read on further. He should remain there until the death of the high priest. Read on.
And unto the death of the high priest that shall be in those days.
Mm-hmm.
Then shall the slayer return and come unto
if he stays in the city of refuge, and the high priest that we would put the term was officiating in God's business then, the high priest, not the subordinate priest. If he stays there until the death of the high priest, after the death of the high priest, it was like he was free now to return to his original home. Okay, so we move on. Cities of refuge? Yes. Sinners today need refuge in Jesus Christ. Remember in the past 2 lessons, I pointed out that the cities of refuge pointed to Christ, Jesus Christ. And the church. The cities of refuge were pointing to Jesus Christ and the church. All the provision made there, they were about Jesus Christ and the church and sinners. And I've just made the statement that sinners today need refuge in Jesus Christ. Why? Matthew chapter 3, verse 5 through verse 7. Let us hear it. Hebrews chapter 6, chapter 4, and verse 16. Hebrews chapter 6, and verse 18. I repeat, Jesus Christ is, and his church is, man's city of refuge today. Every man, every woman who have not made a commitment to Jesus Christ need to find Jesus Christ and the church. Let us hear these passages.
Then went out to him Jerusalem.
That is to John the Baptist.
And all Judea.
And all Judea, we are telling you why you need refuge in Christ and his body, the church. The Bible is telling us. Then went out all Judea and Jerusalem, that is to John the Baptist. Why?
And all the region round about Jerusalem.
Uh-huh.
And were baptized of him.
They were baptized of or by John the Baptist.
In Jordan. Confessing their sins.
Confessing their sin. Yeah. Wait. Acknowledging our sin is always important to God. He who covers his sin, nobody knows that one, shall not prosper. That's the wise man Solomon who said that hundreds of years before Christ. Yes, confessing their sin. Read on, brother.
But when he saw many of the Pharisees,
when John the preacher saw many of the religious leaders coming,
and Sadducees come to him to his baptism,
he
said unto them,
he said to them,
O generation of vipers,
generation of rattlesnake,
who hath warned you?
No, brother, can you imagine you're preaching and you see people coming to listen to your preaching? You're telling them that they need God and you're calling them rattlesnake. Vipers are poisonous snakes. That's right. You see, preaching today is nice and sweet and smooth. It was not so under John the Baptist. Oh, generation of vipers. Who? Read, no brother.
Who hath warned you?
Who hath warned you?
To flee from the wrath to come.
You hear, brother? There is a wrath to come. That's why we need refuge. This is referring to the vexation of the Almighty God. It is coming. Every one of us will witness God's wrath. But those who look for refuge in Jesus Christ will not be affected by the wrath. That's why we flee to God. For refuge, for security, for shelter. Who did warn you to flee from the wrath which is to come? Read, brother.
Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance.
John the Baptist says, bring, therefore, fruit meet. That is, show genuinely that you repent. That's it. Because in coming to God, you must repent of your sin. You must acknowledge that you are sinning. And you must never make that a difficult thing. Because you're only hindering yourself. What verse you are, brother?
End of verse 8.
Okay, you may stop there. What did you say before that? That sinners today need refuge in Jesus Christ because of the wrath of God which is coming, and because, in fact, let us hear Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16.
Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace.
Let us therefore come how?
Boldly unto the throne of grace.
Unto the throne of grace. Read on.
That we may obtain mercy.
Why do we need mercy? Why do we need mercy? That we may obtain mercy.
And find grace.
To help
in time of need.
To help if the time of need comes.
In time of need.
You notice it didn't say if the time of need come. It takes for granted that the time of need will come. So the Bible said don't wait until the time of need come like the five foolish virgins. They waited too late to prepare themselves. The passage the brothers just read tell us that we must seek God's grace available in Christ before the time of need come. The time of need is coming. That's why we need to seek refuge in Jesus Christ. Hence, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18. Let us hear it.
That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, We might have a strong consolation.
We may have strong encouragement.
Who have fled for refuge.
We have done what?
Fled for refuge.
We have done what?
Fled for refuge. To lay hold upon the hope set before us.
I like that. Fled for refuge. First, Christians are the ones who fled for refuge in Jesus Christ. But did you notice the language again? You notice the word fled? That's not a timely casual walk to Christ. Fled means you make haste. In fact, man, it is quite interesting that in passage like, we're not going to read these because we have things to cover. Passage like Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 4 and 5 is the same word, flee and fled. In passage like Numbers 35, verse 11, verse 15, and verse 25, is the same word, flee and fled. In the passage like Joshua chapter 20, verse 3, is the same word, flee and fled. What is the idea? When any man or woman see the need to utilize, that is, to move toward, to take step towards God's grace, are we all there? To utilize God's grace and mercy, it is always a case of haste. Always a case of haste. It's never a case of casual walking. No. That's why the word flee, fled, indicate you are running. And this is what, when you see your need for Jesus Christ, don't delay. In fact, watch this passage in the book of Luke chapter 19 and verse 5. Luke chapter 19 and verse 5, just to illustrate the point that utilizing, when you have the opportunity to learn how much you stand in need of Jesus' forgiveness. When you learn how much you stand in need to utilize God's grace in Christ, it doesn't call for tardiness. It calls for haste. Did I say Luke chapter 19 and verse 5? Let us hear it.
And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him.
When Jesus Christ came to the place, he looked up. That meant he looked up in a tree and he saw a man. This man was Zacchaeus. Watch here now.
And said unto him, Zacchaeus.
Zacchaeus. I like how you read that, brother. You frighten me. Zacchaeus.
Make haste.
No, take time and come down from. Now, can you believe it? Can you believe it? The man was in a tree. You're coming out of a tree, you'd expect Christ to say, take time, you know why you to fall. But you see, meeting Jesus Christ is so urgent. Amen. Christ said, make haste. Read, my brother.
And come down.
Come down.
For today.
Today.
I must abide at thy house.
If you're going to meet Christ, if you're going to utilize God's grace and mercy which you need, if you're going to escape the wrath of God, it's not something to, you know, probably I'll think about it in another year or two, in another week. No. You are not given another year or two. You and I do not know if we'll be around until tomorrow. Christ said, make haste. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, watch here now. Quite interesting are the names of the cities of refuge. Did I say interesting? Yes. These names are not only interesting, but they are enlightening. They are not only enlightening, but they are instructive. That is, there were six cities scattered all over Israel. The 12 tribes, the land, the promised land was divided among all of them. But the cities of refuge were strategically placed so that when a man is running for refuge, so that the slayer of blood no kill him, he could easily find one. But as I've said, what we need to look at, and we're going to spend some time on it now, is the names of these cities and the meaning of the name. Now the six cities are 1, Kadesh, Shechem, Hebron, Bezen, Ramoth, and Golan. Golan, Brother Mitchell, isn't that we hear in the news a lot these days in the Middle East? Golanite? Yes, same place. Going way back there. Some 1600 years before Christ, Golan, that Israel and the Arabs, almost every week in the past, you hear about the Golan Heights. Israel and the Arabs are still fighting over the Golan Heights. That was one of the places where was given as the cities of refuge. Could we spend a little time now on the meaning of these six cities? One, let us look on the meaning of the first one listed, Kadesh. K-E-D-E-S-H. You know, I need the board. Remember, the cities of refuge pointed to Jesus Christ and Christ Church. That's what the cities of refuge were all about. And I repeat that all of us need refuge in Jesus Christ today. And I repeat, Christians are men and women who run to Jesus Christ for refuge. Now, the meaning of these names, Kadesh, the first one mentioned, means holy, separate, set apart. Is that significant, Brother Mitchell? Quite so. In fact, this was pointing to the church. That's right. This was pointing to the church of Christ. Brother Mitchell, what you said, this first city, remember they are listed in the book of Joshua chapter 20, verse 7 through verse 8. So we look at Kadesh. It means holy. It means separate. It means set apart. This, as I've just said, was pointing to the church of Christ, which is Christ called the church of Christ, is Christ called and called out. That's important that we realize this. The church of Christ is Jesus' called. That is, Christian make up the church of Christ. Christians are men and women who were called by the gospel. Because we are told in the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4 that Jesus Christ called us by the gospel. So first, we are called. We are also told, if my memory serves me right, in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and verse 28. Let us hear that one. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28.
And we know. That all things work together for good.
That all things work together for good.
To them that love God.
To them that love God.
To them who are called according
Wait,
to...
Wait, take time, my brother. We are rushed so far. To them what?
To them that love God. To them who are called.
Who are what? Called. You notice that? So first, we are called. The important thing, God is calling you as a sinner. Wait. Let me put some star under this one. You see, this word means these have answered to God's call. The call mentioned here is referring to those who have answered to God's call. That means they repented of their sins after they believed. They got baptized with a resolve to live right. Huh? And it is then they become God's called out. That's right. So the Christians are God's called and God's called out. But Mr. Mitchell, I would become a Christian, but God not called me yet. Who tell you so? Every time you a true message from God's word. He's calling you. Right now, turn to it now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14. That's right. Let us hear it. Whereunto?
He called you by our gospel.
By a dream.
Our gospel.
By a vision.
By our gospel.
By an angel coming and waking you up out of your bed.
By our gospel.
Everybody heard that? Every time you hear a true gospel message, you are being called by Jesus Christ. And that's how it comes. When you answer that call, you become Christ called and called out. But Brother Mitchell, he not said nothing about called out. Okay. Okay, let us hear now, Colossians. First, let us hear 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. Then, Colossians chapter 1, 13. 1 Corinthians 1, 2. Let us hear those passages.
But you are a chosen generation.
But you are a chosen generation. Watch here now. We are talking about that. The Christian, the church, is God's call and call out. But you are a chosen generation.
A royal priesthood.
You are a royal priesthood. Mr. Mitchell, who is this talking about? The church of Christ. Christians, you are a chosen generation. You comprise a royal priesthood. Read.
A holy nation.
You are a holy nation.
A peculiar people.
You are a peculiar people.
That he should shew forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness.
Called you out of. You have that there, Yeshua, brother?
Who hath called you out of darkness.
You didn't put that there.
No.
God put that there. You're called out of darkness
into his marvelous light.
When you live in wrongdoing, sin, disobeying God daily, don't care about how you offend him and don't care about your eternal soul, you are living in darkness. You are like a man who is traveling in darkness and doesn't know where he's going. When you live in sin, outside of Jesus' word. But when you obey the gospel of Christ, repent after believing and get baptized with a resolution to live right, that is living by the word of God, you come into the light of the gospel. And as long as you live by the gospel, you live by the light that God provides. The brothers just read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Let us hear Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Let us hear it.
Who hath delivered us?
Who hath delivered us?
From the power of darkness.
Wait. Notice, ladies and gentlemen, the us. Huh? That's the Christian again. That's not everybody. That's the Christian. Who hath delivered us from what?
The power of darkness.
Brother McFarlane, you notice darkness, that stands for, you don't know where you are going. You're traveling and you think you know where you are going, but you are not seeing right. What is the idea? Nobody can see right if Jesus Christ is not leading you. Did you get that? If you are living a life void of Christ and Christianity, it matters not how many letters you have behind your name, you are living in darkness and ignorance. That's right. You need Christ and the gospel to enlighten you daily. You were at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13. Read now.
Who hath delivered us from
from
the power of darkness.
Power of darkness that Satan controls.
And has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son.
You hear? You are delivered from darkness and you are translated. The kingdom there of his son means the church. That was Colossians 1:13, 1 Corinthians 1:3, 2 Corinthians 6:17. Quick, brother.
Grace be unto you.
Grace be unto you.
And peace from God.
And peace from God.
Our Father. And from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf. For the grace of God, which is given you by Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Where are you reading from?
1 Corinthians 1, verse 3.
Verse 2.
Unto the church of God.
Unto the church of God.
Which is at Corinth.
Which is at Corinth.
To them that are sanctified.
To them who are... Wait, Brother Mitchell. What you said the word... Kedish men, it means holy, it means separate, and it means set apart. Do you mean know that the word set apart is the same word holy? That's right. Listen to the passage. Read, Brother Crick.
To them that are sanctified in Christ.
Wait. To be set apart is to be?
Sanctified.
S-A-N-C-T-I-F-I-E-D. Is to be sanctified. Brother Mitchell, you say it means holy. You say it means sanctified. You say it means set apart. Are you getting confused? No. The word holy carries all of these meanings. When you are set apart, It means you are holy, because that's what the word holy means. It means you are sanctified. Everywhere you read the word sanctified, it means you are set apart for Jesus Christ. It means you are holy everywhere. And that's what the word Kedesh means. That was one of the names of the cities, one of the cities of refuge. In fact, listen, read the rest of that verse, brother.
To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints.
May I? In the passage, the word sanctified. Saints. The word saints, the word set apart, the word holy, the word sanctified, all are from the one Greek word. What do you mean, Mr. Mitchell? It's one word in Greek that is translated saints, set apart, holy, sanctified. And this is the idea when the city, the first city of refuge mentioned was Kedesh, means holy, separate, set apart. This was pointing to the church, which I have said, is Christ called and called out or set apart. You finished verse 2, brother?
Not as yet, brother.
Oh.
To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Somebody didn't notice where we are sanctified. Somebody didn't notice that is done in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You cannot be set apart outside of Jesus Christ. Turn with me quick, brother, quick to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17.
Wherefore, come out from among them.
Come out from among them.
And be ye separate.
And be ye separate. Wait. Brother Mitchell, didn't you say that the name Kedesh, the first city of refuge mentioned, means separate? Yes. The very same word used here in the passage the brother has just read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, where the Bible tells men and women becoming Christian that they must come out from among them. Come out of that which is false. Come out of that which is wrong. Come out of that which is sinful and separate yourself from Jesus Christ. Mr. Mitchell, that is one of the city of refuge. There are six of them. Are you going to finish the six of them today? No, time is up. I just realized that. Oh, my God. Oh, I want to go on. But may I just make a few short statements as we close? We were looking on the city of refuge named Kedesh. Eh? As Kedesh was, so are those in the church of Christ. That's right. As Kedesh was holy, separate, set apart, so are men and women in the body of Christ. If we live for Jesus Christ in his body. Shechem is the other one. Abraham, quite instructive. But we will not look at these this week. Shechem, are you looking for support in your life? Are you looking for a positive in your life? Come next week and let us look at the name of this city of refuge, which was Shechem. Remember, these cities of refuge point to Jesus Christ and his church. Those of us who are part of the body of Jesus Christ, we need to be thankful to God every day that he has been merciful upon us and brought us into the light. And as we look on these cities of refuge, they have a lot of lessons for us. Don't miss out on them. In next week's lesson, I'll be showing that the church and the Christian individually, as well as collectively, we face many challenges. But the Holy Spirit tells us how to meet these challenges of life. At this time, as we are about to dismiss, to end the lesson, we are appealing to those in our audience who are not Christians. We have been looking on the provision God made for the Israelites to have cities of refuge. Those Israelites who were in trouble because they commit crime that call for death. As a sinner, we are in trouble with God. That's why the Bible speaks about the wrath of God. It is coming. But the Almighty God made provision for our city of refuge in Jesus Christ. We are encouraging you right now to step forward and turn your life over to Christ. If you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sin, if as a result of that belief, you make up your mind that you will repent, all the wrong things you recognize in your life, you decide that you are going to turn from them. And if you will take the other step by willing to confess Christ's name. Yeah, simple? Yes. That's how God makes his way simple. Then you are ready to be baptized. You are saying you have some question you'd like to ask. Yes, you can step forward. And we will sit down with you and answer your question. I mean right now. There was a man searching for God's truth. There were worship in his country, but it was idolatrous. Wrong. Contrary to God's will. He traveled about 1,000 miles he was worshiping God correctly. But even he traveled that distance, he ended up going to the wrong place. You know what? The Almighty God provided for him to be taught. Huh? Yes. We refer to him as the Ethiopian nobleman. And after he was taught about Jesus Christ's death for him, that he must repent, confess Christ, and get baptized. When he saw the water, he didn't wait for the preacher to bring the water to his attention. He was the one who asked the preacher, "We are passing some water, preacher, and you told me that I must be baptized. Here is water." You know what? He didn't ask to give him one whole day to think it over. And the preacher didn't tell him to take a week to think it over. The preacher said, "If you believe, Yes, you can be baptized. He said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. You know what? They stopped the chariot and the man was baptized then and there. If you want to read it when you go home, read the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 8. Today you can become a Christian. And look here, if you are a Christian who have backslidden, grown and faithful, the Bible tells us that we must be faithful unto, well, there are two passages. One is we must be faithful until death, and we must be faithful unto death. One is until death comes, and one is that if your faithfulness brings death, still be faithful. So Christian, if you are backslidden, you are in danger. You need to step forward and acknowledge that you have sinned, that you are seeking forgiveness from the Almighty God. You can do that now. We are here to help you, and Jesus Christ is ready to welcome you into his family once you meet his condition. Let us stand.